You're listening to 3CR 855 live stream, 3cr.org.au and digital channels. We're going to be heading shortly into a very special broadcast today. But firstly, I'd like to acknowledge that we broadcast here at the studio on the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the traditional owners and custodians of this land upon which we live and work. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to other First Nations Australians who may be in our audience or listening to this broadcast. I'd particularly like to acknowledge any Palawa Tasmanian Aboriginal listeners in our audience today and pay respects to the traditional owners of Lutruwita. So very shortly, we'll be bringing you our annual live broadcast of the ceremony to remember the two Palawa freedom fighters, Tana Minawe and Morbohina, who were executed 184 years ago in Naam. We'll be hearing from community members, honouring the memory of Tana Minawe and Morbohina, and sharing stories and songs of resistance to the colonisation of this continent, past and present. So keep listening as we cross live to the ceremony at the Tana Minawe and Morbohina Monument on the corner of Victoria and Franklin Streets, Melbourne. Stay tuned.
Look, I'd like to welcome you to the 21st Tana Minawe and Morbohina commemoration. This is the 21st year that this commemoration has been taking place. Numbers flow and ebb and flow. We've got a great group of speakers, and I'll just go through the what's going to happen today. For the first hour, I'd like to thank Community Radio 3CR for broadcasting the first hour of the ceremony, and that program will be podcast and available at any time, but it's been broadcast live. We'll do the ceremony. Then those of you who are up to it will be walking down to the Queen Victoria Markets, where we will be paying our respects to the Tana Minawe Morbohina and a number of other men that are buried in unconsecrated ground, where we think their last resting place is. Now, this particular ceremony began as a result of a campaign which was initiated in 2004 by the Anarchist Media Institute, which my late wife was a member of. And in that year, she did, those of you who are old enough to remember, it was a very dark year for Indigenous people in this country. It was the height of the Howard regime and the black armband period of history was big. Everybody was denying. There were massacres. We saw it in the radio, television, newspapers, internet, that it was all a hoax. So the idea was to create a ceremony where we remembered. And it's no accident that when we formed the committee in 2006, that we called it Lest We Forget. Lest We Forget. Now, a lot of people got upset because they somehow felt the RSL had were the only people able to use that word, but it's the same principle. This is similar in many ways to Anzac Day, because on Anzac Day, we honour men and women, the great majority who fought other people's wars in other people's lands, for their sacrifice. But we don't honour this country's First Nations people, the hundreds of thousands who were slaughtered, and for the continuing effects of colonisation on First Nations people in this country. So the idea was to create a ceremony that highlighted there was a history. This is a ceremony for all of us, black, white, pink, yellow, doesn't matter who we are. This is the history of this country. So Lest We Forget, I think, is a very apt term. Now, unfortunately, there were seven of us who started this journey in 2006. Five have died, and I'd like to mention their names. And if you're interested in some of the survivors, the only survivor is myself and Doug Chessman there, who's I won't tell you that he's over 90, but that's a different story. And we've seconded Ted Wyatt, who has a relationship, who has Indigenous heritage going back to Northeast Tasmania, to the committee. But the important thing is, it doesn't take much to organise something like this. And in many regards, we are total failures, because it wasn't about a monument. It was about creating a climate where this country's First Nations Indigenous fighters were remembered on a particular day, and ceremonies were held across the country to actually honour the tens of thousands who died resisting colonisation, resisting their lands being stolen, their culture being destroyed, their languages being put asunder, their men, women and children slaughtered in the most indiscriminate ways. That's what this day is about. Now, we chose these two men for one reason, because remember, we're very politically motivated. As I said, this happened during the period, during the Howard regime, when people denied that this country had a black history. You know, not just the fringes, not just the divided nation members of the world, but people in authority who denied what had happened, who used the state's apparatus to bury that history. And we chose these two men because they were not slaughtered in the middle of the night. They weren't cut to pieces, they weren't shot, they weren't burnt, their bodies weren't. They were tried by the British colonial authorities in this state, which was then New South Wales. And they were tried for the crime of resisting white colonisation. And the British courts found that the resistance to colonisation basically was a punishable offence, and a punishable offence punishable by death. So we remember their names. We know who they are. Unlike the tens of thousands nameless who will never be remembered. Now, we've got a bevy of speakers. I'm very proud to say I've got Janet Gulpin will be speaking first. She'll be representing, she's here on the behalf of the Bunurong people. Then I've got Robbie Thorpe will be speaking next. And I'd just like to mention that if it wasn't for the radical elements in the Aboriginal population in Victoria who are willing to throw their support behind our struggle despite resistance from many traditional Aboriginal groups. Because these men are strangers. They come from Tasmania. They're strangers. They were forgotten. Very few people remembered them. And it's my pleasure after Robbie to introduce Selena Colgrave, the president, isn't it? The chair of the Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation, which is the traditional home of Tanaminaway, and they will be holding a ceremony at the same time we are. And I understand there's another ceremony being held in Wonthaggi. But if there's one thing I want you to remember is each and every one of you have the power to remember this history. Not for the sake of remembering history, but for the sake of understanding the present and changing the future. That's what this is about. Each and every one of you can organise a ceremony in your part of the world on the 20th of January to mark what we describe as First Nations or Indigenous Freedom Fighters Day. Janet, would you like to come up to the stage? Now, Janet injured her ankle, I was told. So, and she came here by public transport, although we wanted to pay a taxi for her, but she was too headstrong.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. So today, I'm not going to be saying Bunurong, I'm going to be saying Bunwarang, to differentiate the two differences of those peoples. So here we are today on Bunwarang country. Wominjika. Wominjika is the Bunwarang language word for come with purpose. Sawamanjika, Mirambikbik, Bunwarang, Namdurp, Burupton, Utterwheelam. Come with purpose to our beautiful home, land of the two bays. I always feel privileged to be able to speak with you about our people. And today it's my purpose to deliver a little bit of a different welcome to country than what you would normally hear. When a First Nations person performs a welcome to country, they are not welcoming you to Australia as you know it today. We're continuing a sacred ancient custom, thousands of years old, of granting safe passage into our traditional lands. It's a ritual of respect and connection to country, which for us is so much more than just a place on a map. For us, it's the land beneath our feet. It's not the streets, the roads, the highways, nor all of the buildings that we are surrounded by. It's the earth, the trees, the sky and the clouds. It's the sun and the moon and the stars. It's our ancestors who walk with us, beside us and sit on our shoulders. And when they are with us, we walk stronger and prouder. Country to us is kin, it's ancestor, it's spirit, and it's also stories. It holds memory. And those who speak for it are continuing unbroken practices of custodianship that existed long before the idea of Australia did. And it's about survival, cultural survival. It's about law. It's about honour. And it's adapted because we have been forced to adapt. Colonisation did not end our cultures. After centuries of violence, dispossession, theft and destruction, the fact that our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people still stand up, still offer welcome and still only ask for recognition, not revenge, tells you everything that you need to know about our people. So welcome to all of you and welcome to our beautiful country. We pay our deep respect today to all of you. And we also pay our respect today to the Wurundjeri of the Woiwurrung, with whom we share many common boundaries throughout of this land and our lands, and some of it contested lands, as is where we stand here today. I pay my respect to Robbie Thorpe and to Joe Toscano for bringing us together today for this event, and our respect to all other First Peoples with us today and to our allies. So we have the pleasure of welcoming you from whichever country that you are from, and to acknowledge that we are here today for the Tunaminaway and Mauboy Hina commemoration 2026. To remember these boys and also to honour them as warriors who were hung right here until they died for killing two white men. I wish I was an actor or a great orator like Robbie and Joe and could talk without notes. Now, I had written this up and then got here and saw Selena here because I was going to say last year we were privileged to have representatives from the Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation with us and here again today. The Circular Head area is the birth area where Tunaminaway was from. I believe Robbins Island in particular. And maybe one year that we might have representatives from Tebrakana country, and I did see a T-shirt where my ancestor Manalagena's country is, where Mauboy Hina was born. These young men were warriors and they were unjustly murdered in avenging the death of their countrymen. These young men who hung here till they died in the prime of their lives, not ever yet, and I'm going to throw that yet in there, to be taken back to their country where they belong. We hope one day with Circular Head and Cape Portland organisations working together that they may be taken home where they rightfully belong. It was the white men who caused this grievous and heinous crime, and they died as a result of the colonisation and bastardry of this country. And today we remember them. And I want you to think about all the white people who were not ever charged with murder, not charged with poisonings, mass genocide, the rape of our women, with the murder, with the stolen wages and the stolen children that happened all over this great nation of ours, and all of it government sanctioned. And I'm loath to say that today, here in Australia, it's okay to shoot our people and get off. And it's still okay to deliberately run down our people for crossing the road, killing one and maiming the other, and then laugh about it and boast about it and post it on social media and only get a corrections order. And while I'm on this subject, the other threat today to our people is those falsely claiming to be Aboriginal. The frauds, as they're called, claiming Aboriginality to get work. There's authors, yidaki players, dancers, people stealing culture and stories and ancestor stories to write books, university postings, and being upheld by some of our most learned and professional people, and some of them being given certificates of Aboriginality by organisations who have themselves lied about their ancestors to gain their own status. The thing that horrifies me the most is people find it offensive to actually question where somebody is from. They use terms loosely like, I'm Palawa, I'm Yuin, I'm Bunwarang, and so on, without actually stating, I'm from this family, or these are my connections. So we actually all need to get much better at pinning people down and getting them to name their families and their connections. It's just not good enough anymore to loosely accept identity. And I really find it quite difficult to even imagine that people are actually doing this. Like, when did it become, what do you call it, fashionable to be an Aborigine? Like, seriously. Anyway, that's the way things are going. So while I'm on this subject, I want to be very clear that I am a direct descendant from our first peoples, Pakana Tallulah way, Irish and English born, as a direct descendant from the great Tasmanian warrior, Chief Manalagena, my apical ancestor, and his daughter, Wotamalti Yenna. And I'm blood cousin to Narwheat, Professor Carolyn Briggs AM, the elder of the Bunwarang. Our ancestors were brother and sister. And I'm here today representing Narwheat, and I always pay my deepest respect to her and her people. And I have been given permission to speak on country by Narwheat. And the Bunwarang could not have a more committed visionary to ensure that there is a future for her people. A holder of knowledge that Narwheat is instrumental in passing on to younger generations so they know who they are. They know where they're from, and they know their ancestors, and that they have that sense of identity and of belonging to their families and people, and to have that sense of their history are at one with the country, the land beneath their feet. So today we meet on the country of our ancestors, and we pay our respect, not just today, but always to our ancestors, those people who came before us. And we're especially pleased to recognise the commitment that you've made here today in paying respect to the spirit of this land and to our first peoples. Through this, you have shown the willingness to honour sacred ground. We are the oldest surviving living culture in the world, and this is something we want all Australians and peoples of other countries to connect to. Australia also has the world's oldest oral stories. Our first peoples engraved the world's first maps and the earliest paintings of ceremony, and the very, very first footprints on this continent were those belonging to our first people. First Nations people across Australia all share a special connection to the lands and the waters of their ancestors that has not been disconnected from the millennia despite dispossession, displacement, discrimination, racism, poisoning and massacres that we have experienced over the last 200 plus years. So we ask that you recognise and celebrate that our First Nations people have occupied and cared for this continent for well over 65,000 plus years. And we invite all Australians and all peoples of other countries that are here with us today to embrace the ancient history of this country, a history that dates back thousands of generations. And I would like you all actually to reflect upon the connections that every single one of you has with our country. I had something that I bought into some welcomes a while ago, and I'm sorry to hold you all up, but I really have to say this because I think this is something that we all need to be very proud of. In 1937, Mr. A.O. Neville, he was the Protectorate of Aborigines in Western Australia. And for those of you who don't know, every state in Australia had a protector, but they didn't protect the people. They gave them away. They stole them. They put them into servitude. They retrained them. Led into the time of denial, to deny your Aboriginality. Assimilation. Marry into white society. And the reasons for that were to purely breed out the black. So, A.O. Neville, the Chief Protector of Aboriginals, Western Australia, 1937. Are we going to have a population of 1 million blacks in the Commonwealth? Or are we going to merge them into our white community and eventually forget that there were any Aborigines in Australia? I'm happy to say today, or the last big census, 2021, I think it was, and I believe the numbers have gone over 900,000 Aborigines. So despite A.O. Neville and the government and all of their horrible things they did, we're nearly there. So maybe this year or next year, it'll be 1 million. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Janet. Now, before I introduce Robbie Thorpe, I'd just like to make people talk about remembering. I'd just like to remember the people involved in our committee who are now dead. We had seven initial members, and as I said, myself, Joe Toscano and Doug Chessman were the only surviving members of the original. So I'd like to pay my respects to the late Ellen Jose, a Torres Strait Islander. It was my late wife for over 40 years. I'd also like to pay my respects to Bill Murphy, who at the age of 94 came here to see the unveiling of this monument after a 10-year struggle. His late wife and partner, Joy Murphy. Also like to pay my respects to Rick Simpson, who's also a member of the committee, who died 3 years ago, and John O'Brien, who died last year. So if it wasn't for people like that who are willing, people think you do a demonstration, you go out on the 26th of January, and it's all over. It's a day-to-day struggle, and that's what this committee was about. It was about pushing, 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 pushing. Also, I'd like to point out one thing which is very important. Not one person who comes and speaks is paid. We have never asked for a government grant, and obviously we've never been given a government grant, and we don't want any government grants because that maintains our independence in terms of who we invite to speak. Because it wasn't the bigwigs who created this monument, although the Melbourne City Council eventually came to the party and put it and upkeeps it in a beautiful manner. But it was the little people, those that are ostracised, marginalised, humiliated. We used to come here and we'd be surrounded by security, police, as if we were going to take over their land. Obviously, it's different now. And Dr. Olivia Ball, the Melbourne City Councillor, who's responsible and a great ally for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander portfolio for Melbourne City Council, will also be speaking today. Now, there is a young man around taking names. Remember the old, yes, Jared, you, get up. Come on. He's from the National Indigenous Times. He's a reporter. Please speak to him. We just don't want interviews with the main characters. We want interviews with people who've taken the day off and have made the effort to come here to speak to Jared so he can actually organise an article about this ceremony. I understand the ceremony in Northwest Tasmania has also been covered by the National Indigenous Times because it's you who make it what it is. Robbie, thank you. Robbie Thorpe, a great ally over many years.
Thanks, Joey. And thanks, Janet, for that acknowledgement as well. This was a different scenario back in 1842, Joe? 1842. I think about a third of the population of the colony turned up to this site here to witness the hanging of these two blackfellas. Janet mentioned protectors. Well, Punaminawait and Warboy Hina were brought over here by a protector by the name of George Augustus Robinson. George the Disgusting Robinson is a better word for him. Anyway, we know what happened in Tasmania. In fact, the guy who coined the word genocide was a guy by the name of Raphael Lemkin. He was a Polish Jew who used the word genocide, and he based that description on what happened to the people of Lutruwita, Palawa, Tasmania. So just want to throw that out there, give you an idea of what was going on in these colonies back in the time. Very brutal era. An extermination of our people was intentional. And these men here, and there's a couple of others, I think Truganini was a member of that group. The names of them are over there in that white box there. But they were brought over here to act as trackers, scouts, and people to do damage to us, the original people of this state here, what they call Victoria. Good on them, as they escaped. They ran the gauntlet. They weren't going to do that. They took off down to the what they call the Mornington Peninsula and south Gippsland. End up killing a couple of white fellas in the process. Anyway, they made them pay for it. They brought them back here and they hung them. It was a big community event. Like I said, about a third of the population of Victoria at the time turned up to witness that. That's what they did, these colonisers. They loved doing that sort of thing. They were brutal. The way they murdered everyone, even their own. But I want to say, these fellas weren't the first people hung here. Maybe officially, but Aboriginal people used to hang from every tree around the place. Right? People got no idea of the magnitude of the crime seen in Australia and what that represents. The dimension, the magnitude of the crime that's been committed on this land right here. And Melbourne, Victoria, is one of the worst of them all. The very first colony to constitute on the basis of terra nullis, empty land. We know what their intent was. Very clear. Intent to destroy the Aboriginal people. If you have a look at the definition of genocide, it's out there, folks. Small act, a couple of pages. Read it. Because everything in that act, Australia's guilty of, and there's no doubt about it. Killing members of the group. You know, that's deaths in custody. Forced removal of children, creating the conditions of life with the intent to destroy, causing serious mental harm, preventing births. All of those things are being done today to Aboriginal people. Today. And they talk about Palestine, 275 years of protracted genocide going on there, and there's illegal occupation there, and there's genocide being going on for 75 years. Well, Australia's been going on for 256 years. And we've survived our people. Still here. I want to pay my respects to Joe and the committee. Very important that we acknowledge what's happened in the past. Because Australia's got a secret history. It's all based on lies. Fraud, deception. It's what it is. It's a disgraceful country. Some good people amongst them, I must say. But an institution is racism. The Constitution is racist. The judiciary is racist. The governments are racist. And the education system is racist. We know this. Talking about race hatred laws today in Parliament. What a joke. See, they're watering that down. Because if that become reality, it'd be silence in this place. Because they're all guilty of it. It's a full-on racist society here, if there ever was. I remember coming here when Joe first did this. Because I think it's really important that we remember these points in history. My name is Bungellini. Duran Bungellini. Remember that name. 1842. They hunted him down. He was a leader of the Gunai people. They said that he had a white woman hostage. He kidnapped her. That had inspired they went after him. They had their own posses, mercenaries, military, police, and everybody else hunted him down for about 10 years looking for this white woman. You know, it's all bullshit, lies, but they murdered him, including the mounted native police force. Now, we really need to have a good look at who these people are. They've done a lot of damage to our people. They were the mercenary, killing for pay. And the very first people employed, Aboriginal people employed by the state, were black police. Don't forget that. And they were all over this country. They are the ones that done the damage. But they were getting paid by the state. All right. But they hunted Bungellini down and they killed him out here in a place called Dandenong here. They chained him to a tree and tortured him for about a month before he died. Very brutal, these people. My name's Bungellini. And I'm his revenge. That's why I give myself that name. Sorry about that, Janet, but I think about the revenge. But, you know, we don't have to do it in a violent way. We don't have to expose the truth about this history of this country. That's the way to do it. Now, we haven't got arms to defend ourselves. They're just waiting for us to pick up the arms like that so they can finish the job on us. But we're smart enough. We've survived a long time, our people. We're not going anywhere. We never ceded our sovereignty over this land. We never gave them consent to occupy our land. They've got no jurisdiction over our people. Where's our lawyers? Ever seen from the Aboriginal Leagues a lawyer defend us on the issues of jurisdiction? Ever? You don't want us to die in custody? Well, defend us. They never do. It's a big industry. They all are. All these corporate bodies. You know what corporations are? Corporation. To me, that says dead speak. It's disgusting. And they're the ones that absorb all the money from the state in our name. None of it reaches the ground where it's needed. It's these corporates. They're the problem. They're the problem. We've got a gap. It keeps expanding. These corporations, very much a part of the problem today, particularly in the last 40 years. Just want to throw that out there. But I want to pay my respects to these two men. I just could imagine what happened here in 1842. You know, what they were put through. But it's symbolic of what's happened to our people right across the face and breadth of this continent. Not just a small place like Palestine. Australia is twice the size of Europe. It was 100% black not all that long ago. What are we, 1% now? 900,000 is a lot, right? I think that's more than 1%, but, you know, we're very thin on the ground these days. But we haven't gone away, and we're never going to give up our fight. And I always think about my ancestors. It's what motivates me. Also, I think about this sacred land and everything on it. It's what motivates me. The unique flora and fauna here. What's happened to that? And most of all, I think about our children's children's children. What's going to happen to them? We want this genocide to stop today. Thank you, everyone, for turning up over the years, supporting us. That's going to be the difference. Non-Aboriginal people supporting the truth and justice. That's what's going to change the place. And it won't be too long from now. Because you know why? Because there's a parallel between genocide and ecocide and suicide. That's what's going to change people. Right? The land. The land is the real law. And we always spoke about land rights. Our people. They looked at us like we were idiots. What are we talking about? Talking about the dirt. No, we still mean that. We understand what land rights means. Everyone's dependent on it now. It's making much more sense, isn't it? And mightn't care about genocide, but ecocide affects us all. And that's going to be the change, folks, and it's coming quick. Anyway, so I'd say thanks again to the Morboyhin and Tunaminaway Committee. I've got to say thanks to the Melbourne City Council for, you know, actually supporting this project here. There's a lot more they can do, but thanks for that. You know, sure as the sun rises, we're going to be victorious, Aboriginal people, because that's the power of truth, folks. And that's the real weapon here. This is the land of lies, thieves, hypocrites, and their worst enemy is the truth. Thank you, everyone.
I'd just like to fill in a little bit of the story, because it wasn't just about Tunaminaway and Morboyhina. There were five. At the end of the 30-year war in Tasmania, 329 Indigenous people were deported to Flinders Island. That was in, I think, 1835, 1836. And by early 1839... when Robertson brought 17 of the surviving 89 Tasmanians to Melbourne to civilise the Victorian blacks. There were five in the party. There was Tunaminaway and his wife, Planabina. Morboyhina was involved in a partnership and relationship with Truganini. And the other woman was Putirana. At the trial, what happened is the two men were found guilty, the three women were released, and they eventually returned to Flinders Island. You can follow their story, but it's Planabina, Putirana, Truganini. It was a group of five people that were involved in this resistance. Now, Robbie talked about the black police. Well, it was interesting. As they rampaged around the Mornington Peninsula and the Dandenongs, they couldn't be caught. There were posses, there were troops, there were police. So they wanted to second black trackers to eventually capture them. And they offered them blankets and they laughed at them. Then they offered them blankets and guns and they agreed. to do the black tracking, which eventually led to their capture. But the interesting thing was, after they were captured, they weren't given any guns. All they were given was flea-ridden bags, blankets, I should say. Madam Celine Colgrave, our honoured guest, come forward. I think, and Steph, sorry, Steph, and I can't call you Stephanie, I've been told by you. Look, it's incredible. They came last year. They've got their own ceremony, and they think this is important enough to come here and be with us. They come from the land of Tanaminaway. And I think over the last 20 years, we have, this little group has been able to, as I say, energise our cousins across the ditch, not New Zealand, but, you know, across Bass Strait, to take a great deal of interest in their own history. And we're very proud to have you here.
Thank you, Joseph. We're very proud to be here. No, thanks a lot. I don't think I'll speak as eloquently as Uncle and Arnie have had previous to us. Amazing words. Thank you very much. Can't hear? I'll speak a bit louder. So thank you, Arnie and Uncle. Thank you to all the mob that are here, all the allies. I'm Selena McGuire. I'm the chair of the Circle Ahead Aboriginal Corporation. Now, just to explain, Tasmania, map of Tasmania, we're as far as you can go in the northwest. We're 6 hours from Hobart, actually. There is 6 hours drive in Tassie. We're quite remote in a little pocket up there. Today in Tasmania, this morning, we remembered Tanaminaway and Malamahina, just as we are here on, doing right now on the other side of the Bass Strait. If you have a look at Tanaminaway, we talk about his resistance fighting. We talk about what happened to him. We're here talking about how tragic it was. I'd love to fill you in on some of the good stuff, some of the stuff prior to that. We always say, how many Aboriginal portraits have you seen when someone's looking like a cheeky bugger like that? And that's what really drew us to him. You can see by his face, he's obviously cheeky. No one else smiled in their pictures. The mob, the Parappa mob from northwest Tasmania, separated from the mainland for 10,000 years. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, we spoke a different language up that way. You know, Tassie's full of very different mobs, all different mobs. Ours, we're looking back now through history and in the Ice Age, it looks like the Parappa mob come over from South Australia. We have very many similarities for the South Australians there. I just want to brag about how cool the Parappa mob was. I want you to know that they're not gone, they're not forgotten. We're just bringing back their language right now. The men grew up to 7 feet tall. They're amazing people. The women could hold their breath for 5 minutes underwater in cold Tasmania waters getting abalone. They didn't have so much corroboree. They were more shamanism, into shamanism. So they'd meet on Robbins Island, the nine tribes, meet on full moons and have ceremony there. Our friend, I think you said, Robinson, Chief Protector, he went over there and recorded. He went over to our corroboree and they danced till they passed out. They had that much fun. That Robbins Island was ceremony. It was marriage. It was such an important place. So I don't want the Parappa people forgotten and him to go for no reason. An amazing, amazing culture, and he's the face of it for us. And he's still got a grin on his face, even after witnessing the massacre at Woolnorth and the decimation of all his people. So I think he was a very strong, hard character. He's only a young fella as well. As we remember Tanaminaway and Malahena, or the five actually, who went to the Dreaming 184 years ago today, after a brutal death, here away from their homelands, we also remember the unknown mob who fought for survival in the colonial wars, and the mob still fighting today, the same fight. These boys have unknowingly created an amazing bond over the Strait of Water between Parappa country and Tassie and all you mob here in Naarm. So unfortunately at the moment, the Tasmanian government and the federal Australian government has just given the green light to go ahead to have a massive wind farm development on top of Robbins Island, our most culturally significant spot in northwest Tasmania. The wind towers will be the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. It snuck through the kind of, I don't know, policy and stuff that it become privately owned. So it was, we couldn't, you know, Aboriginal heritage and that didn't seem to matter. It was given the go ahead about 2 weeks ago. We've been protesting that for years, well, in the last since it was going to go ahead. Also has the most significant Tasmanian wildlife, which is going to be terribly affected as well. So we'll end up chaining ourselves to the bulldozers there or something. Robbins Island, it's not only one of the most culturally significant areas, it's where the seal hides are. There is so much physical Aboriginal evidence there, but there's also, it's just the place is significant. It's the place where for thousands of years all our ceremony happened, all of our marriages. So, after 184 years, guys, how do we honour Jack of Cape Grim, Malabahina, and countless others? I can only speak on behalf of Tunaminaway, a Papa Lahaina man from Parappa Country, Tasmania. I think it's time to bring him home. I think it's our cultural duty. I think it's the least we can do. I think it's time to bring Tunaminaway home. Thank you. Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it in Tasmania. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Celine, and thank you, Steph. Look, we've been involved in a 10-year struggle to actually get one little site of the Queen Victoria Market surveyed by an ultrasound so nothing is disturbed. And everywhere we turn, there are blockages, whether they're blockages from authorities, whether they're blockages from traditional Aboriginal groups, there are blockages. And currently, apart from the Circular Head mob that's given the go-ahead, we're still waiting for more Borhinas or Timmy's people to give us the go-ahead. And when that happens, we may be in a position to actually start that process. But I would like to welcome you to take part in the ceremony later on when we walk down the street. Now, I'd like to just mention something about this particular struggle to get this monument. Now, this is the only significant monument to the frontier wars anywhere in this country. Any little hamlet you go into, little town, there'll be an Anzac memorial. I've got no problem with that. But the fact is, this was created through the struggles of the Tunaminaway Borhina Committee initially, and then, you won't believe this, I'm one of the 1% brigade. I stood as mayor for the City of Melbourne in 2008 and 2012 in order to highlight the issue, and we were able to make good relationships with the Greens, who finally got a seat on the Melbourne City Council, and Kathy Oak, I think their first Green councillor on the Melbourne City Council, Dr. Olivia Ball will correct me. Well, at least Kathy was the one who had the guts to actually support us, and over the years she was able to mobilise the support. Although that disgraced former mayor, whose name I will not mention, was against it all the way. But once he was disgraced, I think the council fell in line. I would like to thank the council for paying for the monument. Now, people blame us for the monument. I think it's a great monument. It was designed. It was a national design competition for Indigenous artists around the country. And the two artists who designed this in a playful way, because this looks like a swing. You come here, you walk past, you think it's a swing. You're drawn towards it. You may see their names. Now, we had a big battle in 2015 and 2016 where people wanted to use their European names, because they had four or five names, each of them, but we stood fast on having their real names here. And the council paid for it, and more importantly, they have looked after it. These trees and plants come from northwest and northeast Tasmania. This is and they look after the area, and we're very grateful. So, Dr. Olivia Ball, can you correct me regarding who the first Green councillor was? Thank you. That's right, David Drister. I remember David. Thank you. I'm old enough. Dr. Olivia Ball, you're responsible for the First Nations portfolio, Melbourne City Council.
Thank you, Joe, very, very much. Thank you. My name's Olivia Ball. It's a great pleasure and honour to join all of you here today on this important and solemn occasion. I, as Joe has said, I'm a councillor on Melbourne City Council, and by profession I'm a human rights advocate. And I am so appreciative and humbled by the welcome we received to country from Auntie Janet. I want to thank her very deeply and pay my respects to all the Eastern Kulin mob who treasure this place called Naam, and pay my respects to all elders here with us today. And thank those who've gone before me, Uncle Robbie and Selena from Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation. And while I'm at it, thank the Commemoration Committee for all they've done, bringing us here for the 21st time. It's pretty extraordinary commitment without any financial support or government support, and I thank them all, those with us and gone before. It's every year that we meet, that people from Melbourne, from this place and from further afield meet on this day, on this anniversary of an act of appalling violence in 1842. To remember those names and those times, and to draw what lessons and strength and inspiration we can from those events. Tana Minawait and Mulboyhina were resistance fighters. They survived the genocidal killing times in Lutruwita and were brought here to the fledgling colonial town of Melbourne in 1839, when Melbourne, such as it was only 4 years old. And they were used as cultural envoys to help investigate, amongst other things, the Convincing Ground massacre in Gunditjmara country. And returning to the town of Melbourne, they and the three Palawa women, Truganini, Planabina and Paitaruna, joined with local mob and fought for their survival. And as we know, they came from different parts of Lutruwita. Tana Minawait from Papalohena country, now called Robbins Island, in the northwest corner of Lutruwita, and Mulboyhina was a leader from Tebrakana country in the far northeastern tip of the island. And according to Palawa auntie Patsy Cameron, as you may have seen published in The Age just on the weekend, she says that Mulboyhina was not his real name, but was used to refer to him as a corruption of the local language, which meant he's a small boy. His real name, she says, was Timmy, one of the names recorded for him in the historical record. And the newspaper stands that form part of this artwork here by Brooke Andrew and Trent Walter reference those six newspaper stands in the colours of both the Aboriginal land rights flag and the Union Jack. They reference the massive news story that was the repeated attempts to capture these resistance fighters headed down the coast southeast of Melbourne when they were accused of killing two whalers. And when eventually they were caught, they were given a sham trial. The women of the group were acquitted because they were women and couldn't possibly have thought for themselves. And none of them was permitted to give evidence in their defence, even though they spoke English and their lives were at stake. This was colonial justice, profoundly racist and sexist. These young men, aged 27 and about 30 were executed to discourage others from resisting colonisation, in the judge's own words, to deter similar transgressions. Lest we forget. As Gunditjmara Auntie Jill Gallagher reminds us, truth-telling matters because you can't heal what hasn't been acknowledged. Young people deserve to know that their ancestors weren't passive victims. They were proud warriors and fought for their lives, fought for their country, their family, their people and their culture. They deserve to understand that inequalities that we see today are outcomes of genocide, dispossession, racism and exclusion. And more than understanding the present, we need to know and understand our history if we are to avoid repeating it. Mark Twain, a contemporary of these events we remember here today, said, "History often rhymes." And here we are, balancing on the edge of what could be a new period of empire, colonialism is a consequence of capitalism. Capitalism needs new resources, new land, new labour to feed its insatiable drive for growth. I think the truth is, a lesson that I take from these Palawa martyrs is that we need to remake our economic and political systems fundamentally. Create systems that are sustainable, equitable, and just. In December, I had the great pleasure and privilege of visiting Tanawinawait's mob at the Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation and see his homeland of Robbins Island. And we're so delighted to have Selena and Steph with us today representing his mob again this year. And this morning, as we meet here, his mob met on that shore on the mainland of the north coast of Lutruwita, opposite Robbins Island, which is privately owned, preventing traditional owners going to their own country. But this morning they met there and looked across that short distance to the island. And they know that Tanaminawait is there in spirit. As Tanaminawait was reported to have said before he died, as I imagine in the prison where he was held in what is now Collins Street, he said, "After my death, I will join my father in Van Diemen's Land and hunt kangaroo." And also in December last year, a new public artwork was unveiled in Tebrakana country on the northeastern tip of Lutruwita, where Timi or Mulbahina comes from. This sculpture is of a traditional bark canoe, life-sized but rendered in steel for posterity. It's called Timi's Canoe, A Pathway Home. At its centre is a ceramic fire dish for ceremony and a smoking ceremony at the unveiling last month called His Spirit Home. The local mob said, "We know that it's never too late to right a wrong. Let us remember Timi as a young man, a warrior." And so we remember them both and take courage from their example. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have noticed the erstwhile ally, ex-councillor Lippert, standing there. So thank you again for you and Kathy and all the work you both did to ensure that this monument went ahead. Now, we've got some those of you who are coming with us down to Queen Victoria Market, people think we're a ragtag army. They've got no idea what we're doing, although we're behind the banner. There's all these posters here which I want you to take, if you could. And those of you that are coming down, if you can hold up one of the posters as you walk, silently walk down, gives people an idea of what's going on. So can we get a young person? You look young. Come over here. I won't bite. Oh, I've still got the booklet. Yeah. I think if you go to the Tunnamall, if you just give them out to the young people, and the old people, they're allowed. If you go to the Tunnamall website, Tunnamaul, that's the web page, you should be able to download the booklet that we wrote in 2006, which gives the story. Thanks for reminding me, Robbie. Now, it's great to have you all here, but the important thing, as I said before, is we failed. We need other ceremonies across the country. It's one thing turning up on an invasion day and making huge speeches about the injustices. It's another thing about being proactive, and that's what this is about. It's about people involved in the struggle taking that step to be proactive, to actually organise things. So I don't care where you live in Australia or the Torres Strait, there are Indigenous people who've died fighting for their lands, their culture, their language, their family. And we'd like to see the 20th of January, the date these two men were hung, as celebrated across this country as National First Nations Freedom Fighters Day, because they demand that respect. Now, the next part of the ceremony is we'll walk down. We need some active, tough young people at the back in order to protect us from the trap.
And you've been listening to the Tunnaminaway and Morbulhina commemoration broadcast 2026. If you'd like to listen back to the broadcast or share the audio with friends, you can go to 3cr.org.au/protests, and the audio from today will be available there very soon. And to hear from the freedom fighters of today, please be sure to join in on Monday, the 26th of January, between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and join 3CR's First Nations presenters for our annual Invasion Day special broadcast. And before I sign off, I'd like to make a special thank you to the Tunnaminaway and Morbulhina Committee for organising today's event, to all the speakers we've heard from, our on-site tech team for bringing the special broadcast to the airways. I'm Claudia Craig. Thanks for listening to us.
Monday, the 26th of January, marks Invasion Day, and 3CR's First Nations broadcast team will be bringing an annual Invasion Day broadcast to the airwaves from 10 a.m.
In 1788, down Sydney Cove, first boat people land, and they say, sorry boys, I gained your loss, we're gonna steal your land.
Our team will be broadcasting speeches from the NAM rally and conversations with people attending the march, as well as connecting with Aboriginal activists from across the continent at the forefront of campaigns for land rights, restoration, restitution and real treaties, and learning about the way it may be done. And of course, we'll be playing deadly music from our incredible black artists, past and present. So keep it tuned to 3CR, 8:55 a.m, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au streaming live on Monday the 26th of January from 10 a.m.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.